welcome to the Winfrey, I don't even know the name of our show, the Winfrey Monday Night Guest Conference Call Simulcast. And this is the show tonight where you can put Win's feet to the fire. Because we don't have, I'm usually the opening act, but this evening, she's taking a night off. Here, she may come on and say hello. She went to the dentist today, and it wasn't a good night for her to channel. So, for you who are listening on BBS, we are having a simulcast on BBS and a conference line, and we have a bunch of people on our conference line, and usually start off and just let people on the conference line say hello. So, I heard Gina. Did I hear Gina?
Yes. Hello, Wynn.
I heard Hayes.
Yes, hi, Wynn.
And who else was on? Do you have a list?
Dominic in London.
Say hi, Bridget.
Hello, Wynn.
And
hi,
Francis.
Hi, Bridget.
Hello.
And Francis.
Hello,
and,
Wynn.
And who's that?
And Jean.
Hi, Jean. I got your
hi,
email.
Hi, Wynn.
I'm not forgetting you, Jean. Okay?
All right.
Okay. And who else?
Greetings.
Hi, Wynn. This is Joan from Georgia.
Hi, Joan. And who else?
Edna in Bend, Indiana.
Edna in Indiana. And who else?
And anyone? Michael in San Diego.
Hi, Michael. Michael in San Diego. That's Michael who I had lunch with today, right?
This is.
Of course it is. I know your voice. And who else?
Me. Hold on. Sorry about that.
Who? Anyone else? You don't have to say hello. Terry, are you there yet? Terry's just going to be a spectator tonight. So, all you guys out in BBS land that are listening on the internet, you can't say hello because I won't hear you. You can think hello because this is a group consciousness call, and if you think it, I'll feel it. So, I'll give you a second. One, three. Now, some of you might notice the energy coming back to you when you do that. Try it again. See if you can say hello to me silently and feel energy returning. Because when we hook up here, we're not just being psychic, but we got all these, well, if you're listening for the first time, you'll think I'm nuts, but we have all these guys in other realms that are also riding on the energy of this. And it's a subtle energy, but it's there. So, say hello silently if you want to, and let's see if we can feel the energy come in. Okay, now I'm going to give you the phone number, and I see that Don no longer has an 800 number. He's got a 415 number, so it'll be a long-distance call, but the number is 415 762-1161. 415-762-1161. And if nobody calls and asks any questions, we'll just do a group meditation and be quiet. Everyone on the phone line can ask a question. But make it a real question, because a lot of the guys that are on the phone lines have been coming in regularly on our Wednesday calls and our Sunday calls. And on Wednesday, when people ask questions, they submit them in advance, and we channel the answers. Terry does. But today, I know somebody sent me an email last week and said, can you tell me the brand of potato chips you were eating on the call? Do I ever sound like I'm eating potato chips on the call?
And then start your recording in a bit.
Oh, thank you, Hayes. Start the recording. Hang on.
Somebody did something.
Hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay, we're now being recorded, and for those who listen on the replay, this is Monday, May 3rd, and this is an unusual Monday because they're going away now. They don't want to hear me talk.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, I unmuted everybody. And so, as I said, if you want to call in and ask a question, I hope that if you call in, you know something about me. If you don't, I don't know how you're going to ask a question, but what should you know about me? You probably should know that for the past 7 years, I wrote the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. For the past 7 years, I've had hundreds of conversations that are all recorded with two people who I've been personally connected with in my life. And these voices that are talking to me explain themselves to be group souls that have been involved with the evolution of humans, helping humans evolve, and been involved in various spiritual and maybe religious movements in past history. And I also wrote the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which brings through the messages of one of those group souls. We also have connected with a woman by the name of Carla Ruckert, who was channeling one of those group souls in 1981 through 85. And that group soul goes by the name Ra, and the other group soul goes by the name Elohim. And they talk to us on this line live over and over again, three times a week. And so I tell people, don't believe that because I say so, but if in case I'm right, then you might want to listen in and see and how it feels, feel who, you know, your connection with these sources. And
entry and exit chimes are off.
Feel your connection with these sources, and for many people, judging by the emails I get and people I talk to, this has had a fairly profound impact on people. And the nature of the impact is fairly subtle. It's, well, not always subtle, but often subtle. The impact seems to be that people are feeling more connected. They're feeling more connected with spiritual energy. They start to be happier oftentimes and feel they're connected to the group that we establish here. Maybe I'll start this off before we have questions. See, since we have a bunch of people that have been on the calls for a long time, see if anyone on the call wants to share how coming into these calls or reading my materials has impacted them. And this is totally voluntary. If nobody says anything, then I'll just have mud on my face because it sounds like it doesn't work. So hang on. I'm going to unmute you. If it's too noisy when I unmute you, I'll mute everybody again, and then you can press *6 to individually unmute yourself and say something. So let's try unmuting.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everyone's unmuted. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
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 Terry on the line. Hello, Terry.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm on the line.
Okay. All right. You want to say, how's your mouth feel?
Well, still got the Novocaine. I cannot talk very well.
Okay. Let's all put the light to Terry's mouth. Can we do that? Is that okay, Terry?
Okay.
All right. Okay, Okay, so I'll just open it up if anyone wants to say anything about their experience of being on these lines.
I can tell a story.
Who is that? Is that Jean?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Jean.
Well, when we moved into the home we're in right now in the year 2003, I believe it was, and when I was, a lot of times when I'd meditate and be in different rooms in the home, I would get a really, really sad feeling come over me. And I first didn't know what it was, and then I realized that there were souls in here that that needed to go somewhere. And when I started talking to you and Terry, I found out that they were Indian or Native American souls, and that there had been a reservation at one time along the Sioux River here in South Dakota, and there had been a lot of them that had passed away here and didn't want to leave, and so they were haunting some of the homes in the neighborhood. The little girl next door came over to play with my grandson, and I asked her one time, she just mentioned, well, I always play with my ghost if nobody's here to play with. She told my grandson that. And so I talked to her a little bit about the ghosts, and then after Terry helped me and everybody on the line helped with helping a lot of the Native Americans pass over, and one's name was Blue Feather, and he seemed to be one of the more important ones, probably a leader or a chief or some type of warrior. And when I talked to Ellie the next time, I said, how are your ghosts doing? And she said, oh, they left. I said, I really miss them. Now when I don't have anyone to play with, they're not here. So I knew that the ones in her home had left. And I knew the ones in my home had left, but I still see people moving out of the neighborhood quite often. So I think there might be a few hanging around yet, but it was very, very interesting, and it was wonderful to see because you could just see them and feel them, and as they crossed over.
Now, where did you get the name Blue Feather? Was that a name that Terry came up with, or?
I don't remember if I came up with it or if Terry did, but I believe one of us was told Blue Feather. Was it you, Terry?
Terry, unmute yourself. Are you on?
It was you. You came up with the word.
Okay, well, that's what they had told me. I lived with these beings or souls for quite a while. We've been here a lot of years now, and every time I get a very distinct sad feeling, I just help them go into the light because I figure another one's found their way here and just needed to know how to get into the light.
Jean, have you always been sensitive to discarnate beings and psychic sensitivity?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I have.
So if you go to a cemetery, you feel beings there hanging around the cemetery?
Yes, I can feel them hanging around there, but I don't ever go at night. It just feels a little creepy for me.
Okay. Sharing that. Anybody else?
I do feel them, and I do see them, and I have heard them on occasion. So it's not always the same thing for me.
You know, I'll tell you, when I sit here, like, I don't see things like that. I feel energy, but I don't see that. And when he comes up with things, I come to myself sometimes, God, it's really happening. Is she really talking to a bunch of discarnate Indian souls? And have proved themselves, like coming back, amazing to have this information available to us all. Does anyone else want to share something?
I have a question. My name is Tim in Detroit.
Timothy.
Yes, I've called now a couple of times, and I find it interested in this sense. And I've done these, what I classify as, you know, astral body projections before.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of imagery, and one thing I've always noticed, and I have no idea if this has been seen by others, I often see sort of a blue, almost an aura-like substance, and I see that sometimes surrounding my body, but sometimes I feel when I project and I go to the various parts of this planet or other planets, I seem to see this blue aura. Now, does that mean anything, or is that more of an imaginative thing on my part?
Well, you know, I'm not qualified to answer that. That would be something to submit on a Wednesday night and ask those guys. I do know that, I don't know if some of you may have seen it, I was giving a talk and somebody was taking pictures, and one of the pictures had a blue orb resting on my elbow, really bright.
Okay.
And I asked him that. He said it was the Ra group. The Elohim comes in as huge pink energy, and the Ra group comes in blue energy. And perhaps I wouldn't be a bit surprised just from hearing the tone of your voice that you might be a Ra wanderer. Have you read my material enough to know what a wanderer is?
You're talking about a wanderer in the sense of taking various forms, but the essence is still the same. Is that what you mean?
No. In the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which I highly recommend that you read that, because if you're connected to the Ra group, it will enhance your connection. You'll feel the energy of them. And even if remotely connected, some people feel the energies and start dream messages if they make the connection. Either that or the Ra material and the Ra material from Carla Ruckert. And in the Ra materials, Ra, and Ra is a group soul that's made up of graduates of this realm, people that got off the wheel of reincarnation for perhaps hundreds or thousands or millions of years. The Ra group talks about wanderers. The way to define it is there are millions of people in this realm already graduated, that got off the wheel of reincarnation and chose to volunteer to come back here and be of service. And the implication was if no one from the higher realms ever came back, this realm would be doomed, that it would be totally taken over by the negative. So they volunteer to come back knowing that once they're here, who they were and why they came. So something has to remind them. And some of the indications or the characteristics of people who are wanderers is they're interested in spiritual things. Often they're psychically sensitive. Oftentimes they're feel alienated. Sometimes they're artists. Sometimes they can be totally screwed up. They came here and they keep looking for something to connect to, and everything in this realm bores them. And sometimes they have ADD. They can't concentrate on lower-level things. And they actually are carrying a very high soul energy, but until they find something, bounce that energy off of, they have no awareness that they're carrying it. So you're a guy that is astral traveling, and you see blue, and that is the color of the Ra group. So I would hypothesize that you may be traveling under their auspices or with them or them being with you. But that's a question that I can't directly validate. You'd have to come and ask that on a Wednesday night.
Sure. You're just sort of kind of describing a possibility that...
Right. Well, intuitively, from feeling your energy, because I can feel energies, I would tag you as being a wanderer, okay? most people that are interested in this kind of work that I do are wanderers. Most people, otherwise, it goes by the... It's so... People that are attached to the reality system down here, people that have involved themselves in, you know, worldly goals, like making a lot of money or whatever.
They think this is all there is or something.
Yeah, they think that's all there is, and they don't want to even attention to this kind of material because they would have to shift reality systems. And it doesn't mean they'd have to change the outer circumstances of their life, but it scares them because they don't want to shift. It threatens their reality system. It threatens their level of security. So just by the nature of being attracted to this material, it's probably a very strong chance that you're an interdimensional person, because this is probably one of the best explanations of how all this works that's available, and that people intuitively say, yeah, that makes sense, that's it, you know? So, anything else?
Well, just one thing about the dimensionality, and a lot of these dimensions may not even be perceived even by what we call modern physics. A lot of physicists today look at something called string theory, which posits many dimensions, but we're even talking about so-called maybe spiritual dimensions or things like of that nature.
Well, you know, I have my own way of understanding dimensions. And one way, the way that I look at it, and I've asked questions about this, and they said this is a fairly accurate understanding, is that dimensions could be looked at as different timelines, where time moves at a different speed here.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's multiple timelines stacked on top of each other. And where you are right now is you're in 3D, but simultaneously you have different timelines in your space, but you're not tapped into them. When people start getting psychic and intuitive, it's an indication that they're tapping into other timelines. When you astral travel, my understanding of it, and I don't perceive myself consciously for traveling. Well, I understand that everyone astral travels at night. But when you're astral traveling, well, you're leaving your body and going somewhere else. On the other hand, you could say something of soul traveling, where you're still in your body, and you start to get the intuitive connection to other timelines, feeling vibrations. And so, your question.
Yeah, the astral, you're going through space. The soul traveling, you're talking about actually going through time.
Exactly.
Right.
You're moving simultaneously. You see, you can exist in multiple timelines. In fact, everyone does. Vision is blocked out from it. If you're on the line making noise, try to be quiet because I have all the lines open right now. If you're making noise and you know there's noise in your background, star 6, mute yourself. Yeah. Okay. Other comments? Jim.
Yeah, and I'd like to share my experience with Ra'an, speaking of Ra'an. And this is Sheena talking. What I find most fascinating is when in the channelings, Ra'an says to us, all we need to do is ask, and they will always grant it for us. They will always, you know, be there for us. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, that has been true, at least for myself, not only because I set the intention and believed it, but that, you know, I really think there's some truth to this stuff. One example just happened a couple days ago. My cat got out, and I searched everywhere for her, and I asked Ra'an to help her find her way home. And several hours later, miraculously, she came back. And, you know, this was the first time she had been out and didn't even know, you know, her way around or anything. And I said, okay, you know, and of course I thanked Ra'an and everything, and it was truly miraculous that she, you know, had found her way back. And the turnaround time is also very, very quick, I noticed as well. Just in this new house I'm looking at, I asked Ron, another example, show me a sign. You know, show me a sign if this is the right house for me. Let me see a dolphin, you know, somewhere in the house. And lo and behold, and I almost didn't see it. It was almost towards when I was leaving, and I turned, and I noticed a shirt that was kind of hanging, and it had dolphins on it. So, you know, it's just the things like that, and of course for healing, you know, that pretty much is above anything else. When I've asked for healing either for myself or someone else, I always seem to find out, or I ask the person, oh, you know, are you feeling better? And they say miraculously, yes, you know, they feel better. So, once again, these are just a few of the many examples, and of course the greatest one is on our Sunday grid healing, where, you know, there's a majority of people, and we really hold the energy and hold the space. And I had asked for, you know, the whales to be protected in the marine whale sanctuary in the Antarctic. And as a result of our grid healing and asking a few times, 528 whales were saved this season. So that is a miracle. And I truly believe that this stuff works. It works for me. And mainly because I believe it, and I have the intention behind it.
I would like to, I'd like to say that when it comes to effect, never be certain that because we asked, something happened. I mean, I, being somewhat scientifically oriented and a natural-born skeptic, keep saying to myself, geez, I wonder if we were responsible for that. But there's been enough indication predisposed to think it doesn't matter whether it's coincidence or it doesn't matter whether we cause something to happen. It doesn't matter. It keeps happening. And for those that may be listening, when we do channeling on the name identity of the voice that speaks to us, and as we're talking about these two groups, both, they explain themselves to be a conglomerate of both group souls, a council or a team that's made up of both of them, because my personal experience, and this is where you have to read my material, in a very phenomenal way, I ended up getting rather personally connected with both group souls. And I started to realize these voices that were talking to me was not just an intelligence that was a voice talking through somebody else, but group energies were huge and had the ability to penetrate into this realm, connect with people on an individual basis, and that they were trying to explain how a human could make those connections and access their help. And I would say when they say you just have to ask us, there's a thing that has to, you know, some people will say, okay, prove to me, do this, and I don't think that will work. I think your asking has to have a high intention to it, and part of having a high intention is starting to actually think they might be real, because if you're testing it, the actual testing of it kind of holds your energy in check. You can still ask with a high intention and still test, but you have to have the intention to the energy of the veil so that they can find you, because they're not listening necessarily to your mind. They're paying attention to your energies and their expansiveness. Your intention is what thrusts your energy through the veil. Do every Sunday. Many, many people have emailed me how they feel the energies on the line when we do a grid healing. And if BBS and you want to try this out, just go to conference.messageaday.net and you will see the phone number for the Sunday morning grid healing at 10 a.m. And it's okay to come in as a skeptic. This is not a place, I'm not trying to create believers here. I'm just offering something that you can check out and test and define your own experience as a result of your participation. And if it works for you, great. And anyone else have a question or want to say something?
Yes. Sunday we asked to help with the oil spill. And I hear on the news today that it's not coming ashore as fast because the wind shifted and the tide is not coming in like it did in the same direction. And it seemed like they did interfere some.
Mm-hmm. One of the most amazing things that happened on one of our Sunday calls was a couple of years ago. We put Hurricane Gustav was barreling down on New Orleans. We put Hurricane Gustav in the light, and then Terry was channeling, and they started talking to the hurricane and requesting to divert the energies of the hurricane so that it wouldn't hit. I mean, you know, they're explaining a hurricane has a consciousness to it. It has an energy and a self-awareness. And it likes to be powerful. So somehow or another, they convinced the hurricane, out of free will on the hurricane's part, to divert the energies and not cause the damage. And I was listening to this going on, and I had never, ever, Harry, do anything like that. I said, geez, I hope my credibility is not shot. And right after the grid healing, I went on the internet and did searches on the hurricane, and all the news was saying that Hurricane Gustav went from level 4 to level 3, and it wasn't expected to do the damage that it was going to do. The time it hit, it was level 2, and they said they couldn't understand why this happened, because it didn't make sense. Even George Norrie, who has a late-night metaphysical show, had somebody on there saying there must have been some kind of intervention. Well, I don't think it was just us. I think they said there were many people praying for this to happen, and that our request combined with the prayers of people gave them the intention to intervene like that. And I still won't tell anybody that we did it, but you look at a bunch of things that are happening, and you have to be open to the possibility that maybe this is working and it's real. But I don't tell anyone else. If you're listening and you're skeptical, just test it out yourself. Listen to our conferences regularly for a few weeks and see if you feel the energy and feel the shift. And thank you. If anyone that's listening on PBS Radio wants to call in and make a contribution to this, give the number again. If somebody's making noise in the background, so be quiet, or else I'm going to mute everybody. The number to call in for BBS is 415-762-1161, and 415-762-1161, and Seth will interrupt us when somebody calls. So anyone else have anything they'd like to say? Uh-oh. Nobody's talking. Is there anyone on the line that says, I wonder if this could be real?
It could be real.
Did you mute everybody?
I don't think so. Hang on.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everyone's unmuted. Any phone calls? Any more questions? Anyone want to ask a question? I have to answer. Remember, I'm not going to give necessary. I have a lot of information at my fingertips about all kinds of things because I've been involved so often in these hundreds of conversations. So I know what they said, and I've kind of internalized a lot of it.
suppose I can ask another one. I'm Tim from Detroit.
Who is that? Is that Timothy?
Yes. What I've always been fascinated with is, as we perceive, and I'm defining it, our world as we perceive it through the senses and through instruments, scientific instruments, how is it that as materialists, people perceive the world as one way, and as metaphysicians, people perceive it another? Is there any kind of bridge that is possible beyond the subjective experience?
Absolutely. I think it's all there. What it is, it's like a huge spectrum, and it's all there simultaneously. And it's a matter of a person's ability to tune in to other realms. Some people have had experiences where, for myself, when I was younger, and
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And I started out as a physics major in Berkeley. And I had this hunger for truth. I really wanted to understand the way things worked. And so I started playing music. And at one point, I started hitchhiking around the country. And it was a little scary because I didn't feel very worldly. And, you know, you hear about all these terrible things that can happen when you're out on your own, and, you know, no one knows whether you're going to live or die, and who's going to pick you up, and somebody's going to do something to you. But I did it anyway. And I remember at the time, I was doing astrology charts. I had learned to do astrology charts, and I started out because I had a friend who was an astrologer, and I was skeptical. I actually made fun of her because I said, this can't work. And then I started knowing everybody, a lot of people's signs because of my friend who was an astrologer, and I started to see patterns. And occasionally, I would guess somebody's sign because it reminded me of someone else. And at that point, I learned how to do charts because I wanted to investigate this and try to figure out how this could work. How could planetary positions affect humans, you know, planets that are hundreds of thousands of miles away, affect the life of a human? And so I probably did a couple hundred charts at that time, and I became convinced that it worked. I didn't know how it worked, but I knew it worked. And when I started hitchhiking, I had a bunch of astrology books with me, and I said, I brought my guitar and my astrology books, and I said, I'm going to interface with the environment, just looking up everybody and giving them mini readings. And I think that when I started doing that, I started tapping into my intuitiveness, because when I would look at the planetary positions and then interpret it for the person, I went beyond a linear understanding. I would find a way to make that person understand how those energies worked. And it was almost like, I won't say channeling, but tapping into my own higher levels of awareness and ability to translate higher levels into the physical. And then I have this amazing phenomena of noticing that as I was hitchhiking, the world was revolving around me with astrological cycles. And what that meant was I would get a ride from somebody, a couple, that had a certain astrological combination, like a Taurus man and an Aries woman. They would drop me off, and a few hours later, I get another ride from another Aries man and Taurus woman. And it would go on for one or two days, and then it would switch. I'd suddenly get a ride from people of different astrological signs, but it would be consistent beyond chance that there was a pattern attached to it. And I was trying to figure this out, and the only conclusion I could come to, that somehow my vibrations, which were changing every day, and that I would attract through my own vibrations that were changing according to astrological cycles, people who were connected to the vibrations that I was putting out in a given day. And then I had this remarkable thing where I was having people of the same birthday in my space coming randomly, to the point where I was in New York City and I was in Greenwich Village and I was hanging out with this jazz piano player by the name of Burton Green. And I identified with being a hippie who was doing astrology charts, and I would sit on a stoop in the East Village of New York and pull out my astrology books and do mini readings for people as they were going by. And there was this one period where I did this woman who was born on May 28th. And then a half an hour later, just somebody gravitated towards me to talk to me. And I looked at her and I said, I think she's a Gemini. She reminded me of the first woman, and she was. And I said, you're not May 28th, are you? And she was. And, I mean, I shocked myself. And the next day, I was walking through the streets of New York with my jazz piano player friend, and this mother and her daughter walked by me. And I just looked up and I said, ah, that's the same vibration. And I just said to them as strangers, excuse me, you're not a Gemini? And they looked at me and I said, May 28th? And they said yes, and it kind of freaked them out. And then the mother just pulled the daughter by her hand and down the street. But what I realized was I was not guessing that in my conscious mind, that I was actually learning to identify the energies of certain things and how they would resonate with the energies inside me, and that I got to know the energies inside me. Well, that energy is Gemini, and I can feel the resonance of a Gemini, and I would start being right. So that was blowing my mind. I don't do this anymore. In fact, I stopped doing astrology charts a long time ago, but it was something that blew my paradigm. It blew my physics paradigm because the reason this happened when I was hitchhiking, the way that I understood it was because I was totally in randomness. And by going into randomness, I moved into the space where I was not projecting anything into the world. So I was like riding on energy flows that most people don't come close to even sensing because their energies are too grounded into the world. So I let go of all my grounding, and that happened for me. But I could never, as soon as I would live somewhere, as soon as I would say, I want to live here, or if I had a girlfriend and I tried having a relationship, it didn't happen. I couldn't make it happen. And it was like I had this experience, and it was almost like no one could understand. I tried to tell people, and I sounded crazy. So I couldn't ground it. So I went through a large part of my life just trying to figure out how to integrate that experience with ordinary life. So I don't know if that's helpful to anyone else. Maybe some of you have had something like that. But I do know now that when I open myself up to randomness, I don't do it by hitchhiking now, but say, for example, if I go to a show and I'm in a booth and there's all kinds of people passing, there's this speeded up process of connecting with people at an energy that would have never happened if I just met them in another way. Because when you have, I used to do shows and expos, and that there's a group energy to every show. There's a everything has a group energy attached to it. If you go into a certain city and you feel the vibes are together, there's a group energy to that city. And you go to another city, it feels differently. You go into a room where there's a really high family of sorts, there's an energy in that room. So everyone is constantly creating, by the way they participate in life, group energy affiliations. And each energy has a certain aspect of grounding you into this realm, and another aspect of creating opportunities through the strength of that energy. I mean, the work we're doing in Message a Day is a group energy, and it's creating, it's, you know, that a bunch of people participating and reading the messages and coming into the conference calls has created a certain kind of momentum that is no longer mine, it's ours, because we're creating it. So I don't know if that makes any sense, and it's 6:49 seconds.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
It's almost time to stop.
Hey!
Hey, somebody wants to get rid of me?
No.
Does anyone have anyone have anything else they'd like to share, say, question in our last couple of minutes?
Well, when we definitely are in a retrograde Mercury right now.
Who is that?
This is Sharon in Michigan.
Okay.
And I just got on the phone 5 minutes ago because my phone service has been, shall we say, erratic the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Typical communication snafu, you know,
right. Okay, well, that's astrological. When Mercury moves backwards, communication
right. Well, never. Well, he doesn't really move backwards. It just looks like it does.
The relative
speeds change.
Right. It looks like it's moving backwards relative to the rotation of the Earth, the rotation
right.
and the movement of Mercury through the sky.
Right.
So, although it's always moving in the same way, it seems like it would look like it's going backwards
right.
because of the way everything else is moving.
We're actually passing as we move relative to the planet.
Say that again?
It looks like it's moving backwards because we're actually passing it in terms of our velocity actually speeds up relative to the planet Mercury's velocity. So it looks to us like it's moving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody notice anything on the 28th, on the solar flares?
I didn't, but I hardly read the newspapers or check on it anymore. But,
what day? What was that, the Thursday, last Thursday?
Yeah.
28th. I forget what day that. Wednesday, I think.
Are you referring to the channeling from Daphne, where they said that
yes.
was? Yes. Those we asked about that Wednesday call, and they did give an answer. Do you want to say anything before we sign off?
I'm very fascinated, actually. Came from Detroit again. Very interesting. You're talking about this whole, you know, matter of vibrations, and it's a matter of, you know, if you let yourself become random, you enter a random space, it's almost as if certain energy flows will sort of take care of themselves.
Exactly. I mean, that's. I think that if I didn't do that experience, I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing now. Because now I'm grounding that experience. I'm kind of the center of it. And when I was hitchhiking, I was on the periphery. Just kind of blowing around by cosmic winds. That's what it looked like. And no matter what else happened to me in my life, that experience was kind of branded in my soul for this lifetime. Say, what was that? How did that work? How do I live in the center of that? How do I move through that? Listen, it's 6:52. We're supposed to be off at 6:50. Thanks you all for being here tonight and asking questions and making your comments. thank you, everyone that's listening on BBS Radio. And we'll be back on Wednesday on our regular conference line.